Yo, what up? We're back, and this week it's for actually a pretty good card. I like this card. UFC Raleigh, UFC on ESPN plus 24. It's Curtis Blaydes taking on Junior Dos Santos, and we're coming off a, you know, a pretty fun week of fights with Conor McGregor getting that big win, and we did do pretty decent. You know, we hit on Drew Dober. We hit on the play of the week, so that was pretty good. The underdog of the week, unfortunately, did not hit with Andre Feely, but that was a close competitive fight, so you know, can't be too mad there either way. And I just want to shout something out real quick. You know, Mr. Arkansas, he's another predictor. He's been doing this predictor wars, which I think is pretty cool. You know, it's he's tracking all the predictors and just trying to figure out who is the best predictor out of everyone with his certain rule set that he has or scoring system. But if you guys go over there and check it out on his channel, for Mr. Arkansas's channel, it's pretty cool. We actually did win. I think we had the highest score out of every predictor in the first week, so that's obviously good. But hopefully we can keep that rolling and, you know, hit obviously on the parlays and the plays that I recommend here as well. But, yeah, we're just going to jump right into the card, so make sure to comment, like, subscribe. Let's try to get 150 likes on this video. That would be awesome. The first fight of the night here is actually a pretty fun fight. It's Herbert Burns taking on Nate Landwehr. And, you know, this fight, actually, they're two newcomers, but I would say these guys are both maybe not high-level competitors, but they're guys that I definitely think are UFC caliber, could beat certain UFC fighters. So it's a good fight here, and it's Herbert Burns, who is the brother of Gilbert Burns, and he's coming in here off a win on the Dana White Contender Series, and he's a different fighter than Gilbert, though. He really doesn't possess that same explosiveness or power. He's not as good of an athlete. But he's faster, he's a little bit sleeker, and he likes to work behind a jab, one-twos, you know, he has a pretty nice body kick as well, and his striking is kind of raw overall still. He will overextend a little bit on punches, he's a little bit hittable in exchanges, and he definitely throws a lot of naked kicks. He doesn't move his head, which I think at the higher level could get him in trouble here. You know, he doesn't really have the greatest defense. He'll flop to his back when he feels in danger, which does make him hard to finish, but makes for a bad look on the judge's eyes. And he can be very low volume, you know, he won't let go much. And I feel on the feet, he's not going to have much success here, especially if he's pushed on the back foot. He really doesn't possess that big power in his shots, and he's never finished anyone with strikes. He's never been finished either, so he is shown durability so far in his career. And he's an elite jiu-jitsu competitor, you know, he knows where his bread is buttered also, so he's a smart guy. He likes to always usually immediately close the distance, tries to get in that clinch, shoot in on the legs, he has a good double leg, and a pretty quick level change is nice, you know, foot sweeps, trips, if he can get in the clinch as well, and he has no problem pulling guard. He's very comfortable on the mat, and when he gets top position, though, he's really good at taking the back. He'll quickly get the back, he locks in the body triangle, great control, and he will flatten opponents out, land some nice ground and pound, ultimately looking to lock in those rear naked chokes, and he gets a lot of submissions off his back also. He likes to go inverted, he'll attack the legs, triangle arm bars, and man, I mean, this guy, he can be losing the entire fight and then pull a submission out of the hat, so he's a dangerous guy on the ground, and he does have 7 submissions in his 9 wins. And, you know, he can flop to his back. He has limited striking, which can look bad to the judges. So he's only 2-2 in decisions. And, you know, it's a little bit suspect if the fight goes to the scorecards with Herbert Burns. But he has won 3 straight matches via finish, and he's riding a high here. So if he can execute in round 1, I do think he has a chance here of getting a quick submission victory. But for Nate, you know, man, he enters this fight as the reigning M1 global champion. Well, I guess he's not reigning anymore, but he did defend the belt a couple times, and he was the champion over there at M1 Global in Russia, which, you know, that says something, because over there they do have a lot of tough guys. There's people that, you know, could fight in the UFC for sure, so he's fighting a high-level competition, and he's fun to watch inside and outside of the cage. I mean, he's a guy that's pretty easily marketable. He's a dog. I mean, he's constantly walking his opponents down, looking for the kill. He'll talk to you in there, and he isn't very technical, but he's improving, you know, a little bit with his technique fight by fight, and he's gotten better at keeping his hands up. He's staying lighter on his feet nowadays, and he will look to use some low kicks, front kicks to the body, but really does his best work in close range. Doesn't really throw a lot of hand combinations at distance, and he's a guy that really just likes to use a high guard, forward pressure, has a lot of faith in his chin, and wants to close that distance, loves pocket fighting, loves dirty boxing, and man, I mean, he can keep a silly pace. He's infatigable, and he has massive power. He'll throw big uppercuts, hooks, in close range. He loads up on every shot, and when he hurts you, he will swarm, but it does make him a little bit predictable, a little bit slower. And he has some nasty knees also coming forward, and he's just a guy that slowly puts damage on guys, breaks you, and ultimately takes you out. He can struggle to cut the cage off a little bit, and he's a little bit of a slow starter. He usually has to be taken down, hit a couple times, wakes up, and then he starts getting into the fight. But he can struggle with faster guys who can pot shot him, and he will walk into shots. He has been dropped in fights before. But he's extremely durable. He recovers quickly, and he knows when he needs to get urgent, and he's definitely going to fight for your money. So if you bet on him, he's going to really go in there, go for the kill, go for the win. And he does have 7 KO TKOs and 13 wins, never been finished by strikes. And in terms of his grappling, he isn't an offensive wrestler, and his defensive wrestling is improving, but not really the greatest. His aggressiveness kind of allows opponents to get in on his hips, and he can't give up singles, doubles, especially early in the fight when both guys are fresh. But as the fight goes on, he will look to sprawl. He stuffs the head well. He'll attack with front chokes, and when he can lock in a front choke, he really will go for it. He forces opponents to go to sleep or go to their backs, and when he gets in top position, he's really devastating with ground and pound. He'll throw with bad intentions, and he takes fighters out on the ground. He will look to move to dominant positions like the mount or the back, and just finish the job with vicious shots. But he isn't really a guy that looks for submissions. He's only looking to do damage with blows, and when he does get put on his back, he can get held down at certain times, but he will try to explode up, belly down into a takedown attempt. He's always not accepting body position. He's scrambling, trying to get up, and he's been fighting high level Russian wrestlers. But Herbert Burns will likely be his most dangerous opponent in terms of the jiu-jitsu realm. And he definitely has to mind his P's and Q's if he's taken down. But he has no submissions himself. He was submitted one time via rear naked choke. And he fights one way, man. That's with reckless abandon. Keeps a high pace. He comes in shape. He pressures forward. He has that chin. He has that cardio. He has that heart. And he's looking for the kill shot. And if he gets a fighter hurt, he usually is going to get the finish. And unless he puts, unless you put him out, he's not going to stop coming. And it's kind of an interesting class because I feel if Burns can't get the first round submission, he may be in trouble here. Nate's a physical, durable guy. He has fight-changing power. And at this point in his career, I don't think Burns has enough on the feet to deal with the amount of firepower that a guy like Landwehr is going to bring. And I think he needs to get it to the mat. And if he can get to dominant positions, he definitely could get the submission. But, Nate is very scrappy. I think he's going to fight hard here in his UFC debut. And I see him outlasting Herbert Burns in a fast-paced fight and getting a KO TKO in round 2 or 3. And I just think he's going to land a big shot, maybe even get on top, finish with ground and pound. And the pick for me is going to be Nate Landwehr, the train, to get another victory here. And up next we have another pretty sick fight, man. Tony Gravely taking on Brett Johns. And Brett Johns, he's going to be making his anticipated return. He's been out for a long time. He hasn't fought since October of 2018, where he took a ton of damage in that loss to Pedro Munhoz. I believe he tore his ACL. And he's kind of faltered after starting his career 15-0. He's lost back-to-back matches. And he was exposed as not being at that top level, but losing to guys like Aljamain Sterling and Pedro Munhoz, that's nothing to be ashamed about. Those guys are very high level, and this is a huge fight for Johns, though, career-wise, and he definitely needs to get the win, because if he doesn't get the win here, it kind of relegates him into a position of maybe a top 15 gatekeeper, maybe not even being in the top 15. And he is a warrior. He's not going to give up an inch. And he's a pressure fighter on the feet. He will throw some low kicks, front kicks to the body, but predominantly is a puncher. He likes to get inside, sit down on big hooks, overhands, uppercuts, and he has a nice straight right hand. He uses that to close the distance, and he will throw some straight left hook, straight lefts, right hook combinations, and he likes to control distance by shooting the straight right hand, body, head, but, you know, his hand speed isn't really the greatest, neither is his foot speed, and he can rely on some big actions to get inside, like flying knees at times instead of cutting guys off, but when he can get in the pocket, he's a dog. He likes to sit down, trade big shots. He doesn't really have great defense, and he just uses a high guard and kind of his, you know, very... He really relies on his chin a lot, and he can get hit to the body a lot, which was exposed by Pedro Munhoz. I mean, he showed some really big, really good toughness there to make it to the final bell. I mean, he got hurt to the body several times. He got hurt to the head. And he has slow feet. He kind of loads his punches, and he has a square stance. And really got his legs, body beat up by Munhoz. And he can get stuck on the outside, pot-shotted. But he's very tough, man. He's never been finished. And he only has 2 KO TKOs in his career, so he isn't a big power puncher in that way. But he is a finisher on the mat. He is a strong grappler. He's a black belt in judo and jiu-jitsu. And he is a good double leg. He has good timing on it. He'll shoot singles also. But, you know, the singles, he really doesn't finish them as often. In the clinch, he, you know, will go for trips, throws. And he has heavy hips when opponents shoot in on him. He has pretty strong takedown defense. That being said, you know, Aljamain Sterling was able to take him down multiple times and did dominate him in the grappling realm, especially in that third round. But when Brett Johns can get top position, he's a heavy guy. He has solid ground and pound. He's more about position, staying on top, than looking for the finish. And, you know, he will look to take the back, get rear naked chokes. He does have that calf slicer, but he just has 5 career submissions and 15 wins. And he struggled with Sterling's wrestling when Sterling set it up with strikes first. He seemed kind of a step slow, not athletic enough, not fast enough. And he is very hard to hold down, though, and he does have a solid guard. He'll throw up triangles, arm bars. He's a good scrambler, good cardio, good heart. And he's going to be in there fighting for his career here, so I don't expect it to be an easy fight for Tony Gravely. But, you know, Tony Gravely, he's making his UFC debut in a pretty high-profile spot here. He's getting an opportunity at a marquee opponent or a pretty high-level opponent, and he's fighting near home. He's fighting in the South. He's from Virginia, and he's a very experienced guy. He's 19-5, and he's fought some strong competition. I mean, he's fought guys like Manny Bermudez, who obviously his UFC career didn't pan out, but he did have some nice wins in the UFC. Patrick Mix, who I believe is a very high-level fighter. Ricky Bandejas, who's another high-level guy over there in Bellator. And he's an experienced guy. You know, he's 19-5, and he's riding a 7-fight win streak. He's finished all 7 of those opponents, and all 5 of his losses, like I said, they've come against good fighters. So he's not out there fighting bums. He also has fought Merab Dvalishvili, and he's a former Division I college wrestler. He's a smart guy. On the feet, his striking is more about getting the fight to the mat, but he is very explosive. He's a strong athlete, and he's very fast. He really relies on his feet. He has nice straight punch-hook combinations. He'll constantly be bouncing around, feinting level changes, looking to create openings for blitz combos, looking for uppercuts, good body kicks. And he isn't much of a kicker, though. And defensively, he kind of can leave a little bit to be desired. He's a little bit upright when he throws punches. And he can look hittable in exchanges. He can also overextend, throw some wild punches. But he's composed, and he doesn't get rattled when he gets hit. And he definitely looks like a hard guy to finish with strikes. But I do think somebody could stuff his takedowns, could give him issues. He is fast, so in the exchanges, if he could get to you first, he could clip you first, you could go down also. And he's a powerful guy. He has pop in his hands for this division. 6 KO TKOs. And, you know, he's never been finished by strikes himself. So, you know, he has... you know, shown the ability to blend his takedowns and his striking together very well, which makes his striking, you know, that much better, even though it's really kind of the same techniques over and over again. You have to respect him because of the wrestling, and he shines in the grappling realm, relentless cardio, chain wrestling skills, and he likes to establish his wrestling very quickly, and he usually goes for takedown attempts less than 20 seconds into rounds, and he has very fast, I mean lightning fast, single and double leg entries, explosive slams that he can get, and he's good at using the entry to get a hold of opponents, get him to the cage, and you know, he's physically strong there, nice body locks, and in top position, he's very active, great passing ability, he moves to dominant positions, and he just chips away, makes you work, slows you down, he's drowning you, and he slow cooks guys on the ground, and then you'll start to pick it up when he feels that they're, you know, not scrambling as much, not moving as much on the ground. He'll start to throw more heavy ground and pound. He likes to do that from half guard, from mount, and he's good at getting the back, locking in rear naked chokes, and he can put himself in some bad positions on the ground. Sometimes when he shoots in, he can leave his head inside, get caught in guillotines, and he can get a little bit wild with his ground and pound and give up the arm, give up triangle attempts. And he usually is athletic enough to slam his way out, but, you know, that isn't a great thing to do. And due to that, he has been submitted 4 times. And Gravely has excellent takedown defense, though. Very hard to hold down, an elite scrambler. He did get caught in a guillotine in a scramble fest fight with Patrick Mix. But to me, Patrick Mix looks like a potential world champion in the UFC, even though he's in Bellator. And Gravely had some moments in that fight. And overall, you know, Tony Gravely, he's had a great game overall on the ground. His pace breaks a lot of guys. And he's a welcome addition to the division. He should be able to make some noise. And this is a tough fight for me to call because I think Gravely is a much superior athlete. But he can make mistakes. And Johns is maybe a little bit tougher, a little bit more of a veteran, a little bit more technical. But on the feet, I feel like Gravely is going to have success with his speed, especially if he can establish the takedowns. I think he's going to be able to land some big shots that potentially scramble, hurt Johns. And the issue is if Johns can back him up and force him to trade in the pocket, because that makes it much more 50-50, because I feel Johns throws tighter hooks, and Gravely can float his chin, which always gives Johns that chance of landing a big shot. And Gravely isn't a big kicker, which I feel helped Johns in this matchup because he's not going to have to worry about those body kicks. And I think the striking is going to be competitive if it's straight striking. But whoever establishes the grappling edge here is likely going to win the fight. I think Gravely is the better wrestler, the better scrambler. But Johns, obviously, he just got his jiu-jitsu black belt. He probably has a better jiu-jitsu. And maybe you could catch him in one of those scrambles. Maybe you could take him down. And I think if Johns can stuff the takedowns, keep it standing, or get top position, he's going to have success. But I think that Johns will be hard to hold down. Gravely may have to work a bit to start to earn top control time. Both guys have elite cardio, but I feel like Gravely needs to avoid looking for clinch takedowns because that's where he can be reversed, because I've seen him get reversed there. And Brett Johns is very strong in those positions. And he has gotten rear naked choked in the past. He's gotten his back taken in fights recently, like on the Contender Series. And he's very calm, though. He was able to work his way out of those positions. And he kind of reminds me of Demetrius Johnson with his style, but he's still raw. And I think he could get this win here, but I think it's going to be in a hard-fought, tough fight. I think that John's layoff is going to have him slow up the blocks. I think the speed of Gravely is going to surprise him. And that's what I think that's going to happen. I think that you know, his speed is going to win him the early rounds, and he's going to be able to win another round through takedowns and scrambles. And I don't think he's going to get his 8th straight finish, but I see him winning the decision 29-28, getting the victory here in his UFC debut. So I'm going to go with Tony Gravely to go in there and get a big win in his UFC debut. And up next here we have a women's 135 fight, Sarah McMahon, Lena Landsberg. And Sarah McMahon, she's making a return to MMA. She's had a pretty short hiatus. She hasn't fought since February of 2018, so almost 2 years. And at 39 years old, it's going to be interesting to see how she looks here. But she has lost 2 consecutive fights, and she hasn't earned a victory in nearly 3 years. So it's a big spot for her. Maybe if she wins, she'll retire. Maybe she's looking to go on one final run. Who knows? But Lena Landsberg, she's in the midst of a pretty surprising career resurgence. You know, she's won 3 of her last 4 fights, and you know, she's older as well at 37 years old, and she's been able to win as a massive underdog in her last 2 fights. In her last fight, she knocked off the highly touted prospect Macy Chiasson, and last time out, you know, she was able, that was the last time she fought, and the time before that, she was able to beat Tonya Evinger as a big underdog as well. And I would say this victory, if she can get it, is going to be the most high-profile win she's going to get to date. But I'm not going to spend much time on this fight. You know, Lena Landsberg, she's been looking good. She's really improved her grappling. She won her last fights due to being the better grappler, and she's heavy in top position. And everyone knows, you know, Sarah McMahon, she's an Olympic wrestler, super explosive, powerful. In the first round, I would say 9 times out of 10, McMahon's going to win that round, and she's going to get inside. She's going to land some big punches, get takedowns, and maybe even get the finish. And I just think Landsberg is slow, and she gets most of her takedowns in the clinch, where I think she's going to be significantly weaker in this matchup. We saw Landsberg on bottom get pounded out versus Aspen Ladd, and you know, I could see Sarah doing similar, getting a submission, but McMahon is 39 years old. She's 2 years away from the sport, so her performance may not be the same. But you know, Landsberg, she has zero submissions. She just isn't super dangerous standing either. She does have a chance to land an elbow, land a knee that makes McMahon quit, because we have seen McMahon, you know, show some, you know, poor heart in the past. But I just think McMahon is a superior athlete and doesn't have an opponent who could pose big threats off of her back. So my pick here is going to be McMahon via second round arm triangle finish. And up next here we have the return of Montel Jackson. He looks like a pretty good prospect, taking on Felipe Calares, and he's the biggest favorite on the card here. And he's bounced back after losing his UFC debut. He's gotten back-to-back victories, and he's looked great. You know, a win here will probably get him pushed towards a top 15 opponent. And his opponent here, Felipe Calares, he's going to be looking to get another upset victory. He did get a victory over Domingo Pilarte, where he was a pretty sizable underdog in that fight. He was able to grind out a split decision. And, you know, this is a big opportunity for him to get it, to jump in right into the mix in a division here where he wasn't really very well known even last year. But, you know, he's a gritty grappler, he's a good scrambler, but I'm just not sure that's enough for a fighter like Montel Jackson. Calares, he isn't super athletic, he gets most of his takedowns in the clinch, and he will get wild with his striking. He'll throw some dangerous kicks, but isn't refined. And Jackson is very technical. He stays long, he's always in his own striking range, and he's very fast. Great grappler in his own right, and he's the better grappler in my opinion. He should follow, you know, the DeFurcis game plan, mixed takedowns in between his striking combinations, out technique Calares. And Calares, he needs to make it crazy. He needs to land something in exchange. He needs to force a lot of takedowns, make Montel work. And he won his last fight by using some strikes to disguise shots and then just dove in on the legs. The clinch really made it a grinding fight. But I feel like if he tries that game plan against Jackson, he could, you know, get caught in a front choke. And if he stays technical, I think he's going to get eaten up. So I just don't see many paths to victory for Calares here. And I'm going to pick Jackson via decision. I feel he's going to largely dominate, maybe finish Calares. But, you know, Calares is a tough guy. He's never been finished. And, you know, Jackson, he's more of a composed fighter. He doesn't really chase finishes. So my pick's going to be Jackson via 30-26 decision here. And up next here, Lucy Pudilova taking on Justine Kish. And this should be a fun fight to watch. I mean, both these girls have a similar style. Lucy Pudilova, she's going to be looking to get off the schneid. You know, she badly needs a victory. She's lost 3 consecutive fights. And she's getting a step down in competition here. Her previous 3 fights have come against some very high-level fighters. And this is going to only be her second fight at flyweight, so hopefully she's going to be, you know, feeling better, more, rejuvenated in the weight class, or just feeling more like herself in the class. But Justine Kish, she's making a return here after 2 years away from the sport, and she's had to recover from multiple knee injuries. She's finally getting back to business here in her home state of North Carolina, and she's lost 2 consecutive fights herself and definitely needs to come in here with some urgency. But she does have some impressive victories. You know, she's beaten girls like Randa Markos, Nina Ansaroff, Ashley Yoder. Those were all very long time ago, though. And her last win was December of 2016. So we're coming up on over 3 years since she's won a fight. And, you know, this is a fight that I'm not super interested in betting in, but should be fun to watch. You know, both these girls are marauders. They look both like to meet in the middle and throw down. And Pudilova has better punches. Kish has better kicks, and I think Keisha's going to be looking to land that left hook, land the low kicks and the high kicks. And I think she may look for takedowns or control against the cage, but she's a brute, man. She's all strength, not much skill. And she just tries to be very physical. And she does have extreme cardio, extreme durability. And she seems like, with her constant pressure, her constantly just throwing a lot of volume out there, really being a girl that wants to put damage on you, breaks fighters. But Putellova, she's going to be looking to land the jab, the straight punches, maybe use a little bit more movement in a matchup like this, try to stay long, sit down on some punches, put some power under some shots to make Keisha a little bit hesitant to run into it. But I think Putellova is a little bit more explosive. She hits harder. She's faster. And, you know, I think she, you know, is good in the clinch with her technique. She had a nasty elbow in the clinch that opened up and rocked Antonina Shevchenko. And both these girls don't have any quit in them. They're going to go to war. And I think that they're similar, but I'm just going to pick Putellova due to her being, you know, fighting the better competition. She's younger. She's been more active. I think this fight is a toss-up, though, overall. And the judges really haven't liked Lucy Putellova. They haven't been too kind to her in the UFC. So, man, I mean, I could see this being a fight where a lot of people think Lucy won and the judges give it to Justine Kish. But my pick's going to be Lucy Putellova via split decision here. And up next, we have a fight with Arnold Allen taking on Nick Lentz. And this fight was booked pretty late here. You know, Arnold Allen's opponent had to pull out. It was on this card, the UFC rally card. Nick Lentz's opponent had to pull out. So they said, fuck it, let's just put these two guys together. But, you know, Nick Lentz, this is going to be his first fight down at 45s for a long time. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, Arnold Allen, he's just 25 years old. He's one of the brightest prospects on the UFC's roster. And he holds an undefeated record of 6-0. And he recently got the biggest win of his career where he defeated the former title challenger, Gilbert Melendez. And Allen, he was set to get a big step up in competition here. He was going to face a top 15 opponent in Josh Emmett. But with Emmett getting injured, he's going to have to settle for Nick Lentz. And, you know, Allen, he's a plus athlete, and he's definitely evolving as a striker. Very fast feed. He moves in and out quickly. And he's getting much better with his distance control. He's a southpaw. He has a very educated left hand. Good jab as well, but he really works off the straight left body head. And he has a nasty left hook to the body. He really will throw a lot of straight left right hook combinations, and he'll double, triple up on the right hook. And when he backs opponents towards the cage, that's where he shows off his hand speed. He exchanges, and he usually is good at, you know, pull countering, make opponents miss, making them pay. And, you know, he likes to slip and counter with the right hook or a right hook straight left hand. And he showed off a nasty lead leg calf kick in his last match. He also has a nice front kick to the body, a nice rear leg head kick. And he likes to throw spinning heel kicks directly followed by spinning heel kicks to the body. And he loves to explode at the end of rounds and really try to take opponents out when they relax. You know, I feel like some fighters will relax when they hear that 10-second clapper. And that's how Allen's gotten multiple late-round finishes. His defense on the feet is good because he stays very composed. He's always playing the range game. He's fast. He's sharp. And he's powerful. He has 5 KO TKO finishes, but definitely has more of a point-fighting style. And he's never been finished by strikes. He really doesn't get hit too much on the feet. And Allen's grappling is constantly evolving. He holds victories over some high-level grapplers already in the UFC. And he's fighting another guy here who's a grappler, Nick Lentz. He's very athletic. He's explosive. And due to that, he has heavy hips. He's hard to hold down, great in scrambles. And he showed strength in the clinch in his last match. He was able to dig double underhooks, push Melendez against the cage. He bullied him to the mat a couple times. He had some nice trip takedowns in previous fights. And he will throw some heavy knees to the head, to the body, nice spinning attacks off the break. And he was even able to double leg Gilbert Melendez, who's a former college wrestler. But he isn't great with his top game. And he doesn't really actively shoot takedowns. And he's good takedown defense, though. He has fast hips. He can pull them back pretty easily when he sees the shot coming. Good sprawl. And he will use that to circle to the back, take top position. But he can struggle with fighters who can blend their wrestling with the striking. He was taken down 6 times by Mads Burnell. And eventually, he did catch a guillotine in a scramble. And he does have some really nice front chokes. He's good at landing strikes in transitional periods. And off of his back, he also has a strong lower body, so he's able to use butterfly hooks to stand up or sweep. And he was able to sweep, control, and mount a great wrestler in Makwan Amirakani. And he has elite cardio. He could push hard for 3 rounds. In this fight, I obviously think he's going to be looking to avoid the takedown, keep it standing. But he does have 4 submissions. He's never been submitted. And he's going to be taking on a guy that's likely going to be trying to submit him in Nick Lentz, who's going to be making the drop down to 145 pounds for the first time since 2015. And Lentz did have a solid run, second run at lightweight, 5-3, but never could get over that hump. And, you know, he has spent the majority of his career at 155 pounds, but he does hold a 4-2 UFC record at featherweight, and he has struggled even making 155 pounds. So I'm curious to see how he looks on the scales, but this is going to be his 24th UFC fight. He's seen it all, and he's more of a grappler. But, you know, he's gotten a little bit better with the striking. He switches stances now. He's improved his trickiness, his feints, and nice low kicks. He'll throw a good jab, right hook, good body kicks. He'll counter jabs with the overhand lefts, rights. And he has some okay pop in that shot. And he definitely likes to come over the top with hooks and then try to use that to get in the clinch, dirty box. Solid left kick to the body. And he showed off a nice head kick in his fight with Gray Maynard. But, he's also good at catching kicks and striking off of that or taking opponents down, but he's a little bit slow and he can get hit as he enters range. He can also be backed up, give up the center of the cage pretty easily. Doesn't move his head that great and really took a lot of damage in his fight with Charles Oliveira. He's tough, he has a good chin, and he's only been finished 3 times in his career. So, you know, he does historically have a good chin, but I do feel like maybe that's waning a little bit. And he is a grinder. He's grappling. It's definitely his bread and butter. He does a good job using his punches to close the distance. And he also will just take shots, get inside. He's confident in his chin. And he likes to get in that single collar clinch and push opponents to the cage. Good knees, good uppercuts, good elbows there. And we saw that in a fight with Scott Holtzman, who's a bigger guy. He was able to control Holtzman against the cage and really stole a decision with double legs, body lock takedowns, circling to the back, mat returning, and just wanted it more than Holtzman that night. But, you know, he'll throw some nasty elbows, good punches, slow cooks a lot of opponents, and he's opportunistic with submissions, especially guillotines. He does have 11 submissions, and he only has 1 submission, though, since 2011, and he has been submitted twice in his career. In his last match, he did get some takedowns on Oliveira, had some nice top position, but basically got dominated in the grappling realm. But he did show he was able to survive on bottom versus an elite black belt. And he does have decent cardio, but he does get tired in that third round. He's extremely gritty, and, you know, he's not going to give up. But I just think Arnold Allen is too fast for Nick Lentz. I don't think Lentz is going to be able to get inside and close that distance. This fight to me is similar to the fight he had with David Tamer, but I think Allen has cleaner boxing and footwork than Tamer, and he doesn't throw as many kicks either to give Lentz a chance to time and get inside off of. Allen, he needs to keep the feet moving, not worry about pool countering so much, and you know, just stick and move. Don't really stand in front of Lentz and give him a chance to get a hold of you or throw a big haymaker. And if this fight stays standing, you know, the foot speed, the hand speed should make it an easy night for Arnold Allen, in my opinion. I think he has better cardio also, and quite possibly could get a third round finish. But my choice is going to be Arnold Allen via decision. And up next, we have kind of an interesting fight here with Bavon Lewis taking on Daquan Townsend. And Bavon Lewis, he has his back against the wall here. The Jackson Wink prospect, he was once highly touted, but he's 0-2 to start his UFC career. Definitely needs to turn it around. And he's a talented guy. He has a long reach, good frame for the division. And he's diverse as a striker. Nice oblique kicks, round kicks. He has a nice jab, very good 1-2. And he has nice straight and overhand right. Nice left hook, straight right hand combo. And he will fake level changes, come up with uppercuts. Nice front kicks, body head, good rear leg round kick to the head. And he throws a lot of volume at times. And he's definitely at his best going forward being the hammer. But opponents who can walk him down and can counter can rattle him. And he can get into a defensive shell and he can get a little bit wild with the shots. Like in his match with Uriah Hall, he overextended on a right hand, got countered, put to sleep. And he doesn't really move his head, and he's open to being hit in exchanges, and I don't really think he has the greatest chin. And in his last fight with Darren Stewart, he didn't let off as much, didn't show as much his aggression, and he struggled with low kicks. He is a plus athlete, good power, and he has to be respected. I mean, he hurts fighters most often in a clinch, but definitely can hurt you with the hands on the outside, with the feet on the outside. He has 3 KO TKOs and 6 wins, and his KO loss was to Uriah Hall, which Hall does that to a lot of guys. But Bavon Lewis, he's not a wrestler, but is dangerous in the clinch. He likes to push opponents to the cage, hand fight, come over the top with elbows and nice knees. He'll dig underhooks, control, gets the cage, and he's gotten good double legs there, gets lower level competition. In his fight with Darren Stewart, he did attempt a couple takedowns, but really wasn't even close to completing them. He doesn't look very comfortable on the mat. He likes to stand up inside of opponent's guards, throw punches, but isn't looking to pass, really, isn't looking to submit. And he has zero takedowns in his first two UFC fights. His opponent, Daquan Townsend, does have a glaring hole with his takedown defense, so maybe we'll see Lewis try to exploit that. But Von Lewis does have solid takedown defense himself, which I don't really think he's going to have to worry about in this matchup. But he's young in his career, he's shown gas tank problems, and he could sometimes push the pedal too hard early and tire late. Still needs to kind of find that happy medium of fighting aggressive, but still staying composed. For Daquan Townsend, you know, he's surprisingly getting another UFC fight. He entered his UFC debut, short notice. He did get knocked out against Dalcher Champion. And since then, you know, he's found himself in some hot water. He failed a drug test for cocaine, for fentanyl. And after a stint in a drug rehab facility, you know, he got his USADA suspension reduced. And he's jumping in on short notice here. If Townsend, you know, really has gotten clean, changed his lifestyle, maybe we'll see a better version of him here. But, you know, it hasn't been that long. And Townsend, you know, he's a big athletic guy. He has knockout power for sure. Throws heavy low kicks, which I feel he needs to use in this match. And he has a long reach, so he throws some decent jabs, straight punches. And he has power. When he lands, he will come forward with straight and hook combos. And he closes the distance quickly for a guy his size, but also is very reckless. And he'll wing overhands that are dangerous, but really is unrefined. And he likes to pull counter. He's comfortable using head movement. And, you know, he's a dangerous high kick, and he's knocked fighters out with that. He will throw some flying knees, jump kicks, arm, Superman punches. And he's very durable also. He's hard to finish, but his defense is not very good. He'll back up in straight lines, doesn't control the center well. His footwork moving backwards can be very awkward, and he can get knocked out with straight punch combinations leaning backwards. He's only been knocked out one time in his career, which was in his last match. But he is dangerous as well with 12 career knockouts, but his striking is really kind of unrefined. He's only knocked out 3 guys that have a winning record, and his grappling is very low level. His takedown defense is very questionable, really little to no jiu-jitsu, and he backs himself to the cage where he's easy to get it on, and he also could close the distance pretty reckless, give up easy takedowns in that manner. He does have a solid guillotine. He uses counter takedowns, uses 2 counter takedowns, but you know, when fighters can get Townsend on his back, his guard is easy to pass. They can move to side control, mount, and he does stay relaxed, and he doesn't look like he's the easiest fighter to submit, but he has been submitted one time via heel hook. He just doesn't really look like he knows what to do there. He relies on explosion, and he just kind of tries to time a moment to sweep or stands up. I mean, he has been able to sweep some low-level opponents on the regional scene, but, you know, his top control isn't good. And, you know, I just don't think that his jiu-jitsu knowledge is very great. He does have 3 submissions in his career, but this would be a bad loss if Lewis was to lose here. I think on the feet, Lewis is much more technical. He should probably look to close the distance, get in the clinch. I feel like Townsend's style on the feet is awkward, and there's no reason to mess around at range or trade with a fighter like Townsend. You know, Townsend has dangerous kicks, and he needs to attack the low kicks early. Try to slow Lewis down, but Lewis just needs to use feints, straights, get inside, back Townsend up, come out fast, and regain some of that confidence with some success early on in the fight. Get in the clinch, control Townsend, beat him up with those knees, those elbows, look for some takedowns, and if you can get this fight to the ground, I don't see Townsend being able to stand up. You know, his grappling is rudimentary, and, you know, Townsend's takedown defense looked a little bit better in his last match, but he was still taken down multiple times, and I'm going to go with Bavon Lewis be a decision, but I can't trust him with a bet or anything. Townsend is still dangerous. He's more experienced than Lewis. He's lost back-to-back fights. Maybe in a bad spot mentally. I wouldn't be shocked if he got clipped and knocked out, but I'm going to side with a more polished fighter with more experience in the UFC octagon, and that's Pavon Lewis. He also has a better camp, so I'm going to stick with Pavon Lewis via decision in this one. And up next, we have a light heavyweight fight with Darko Stosic taking on Jamahal Hill. And Stosic, he's fighting for his UFC career here, most likely. He did start his UFC tenure with the victory, but he's lost back-to-back matches and kind of had a bit of underwhelming performances. And he is a big, powerful guy. He has powerful low kicks. He has a big power in the right hand. And he will counter with the straight and overhand right. He likes to counter over the top with left hooks. And he really explodes in the left hooks. You know, good at closing the distance with like a leaping left hook, but he doesn't really throw it nearly enough. And for me, man, he backs up far too much. He's extremely low volume, really kind of loads up on his shots and really, you know, makes him a little bit slow. But if he showed more aggression, I think he would be a much better fighter. I'm not sure he has the cardio for that, but he has a good chin. He will eat shots, continue to come forward. He did get dropped by a jab against Clark, but more of a flash knockdown there. And he's only been finished once in his career by TKO. He does have 8 KO TKOs, and if he lands one of those haymakers on an opponent, you know, he could put you out. And he's the better grappler in this matchup, in my opinion. He is solid in the clinch, good double underhooks. He'll attack with elbows, explosive combos off the break. And he'll open up with some heavy hooks, straight punches against the cage. And good takedown defense, and he will use that to land hard knees, press you up against the cage, or sprawl down, circle to the back. He even got a big explosive double leg slam on Devin Clark. And he has good top pressure, he has good ground and pound, but doesn't really look to pass. He really kind of just stays inside opponent's guards. In his match with Kennedy and Jekyll, he couldn't control Kennedy on the map, but did get multiple third round takedowns, and he showed a better gas tank in that fight. He still was extremely low volume. And to me, I mean, I feel like if he can get takedowns in this fight, he's gonna win. But if he can't, I don't see him winning because I don't think he's gonna have the cardio to keep up with the pace that Jamahal brings on the feet. But Jamahal Hill, he's gonna be making his debut. He had a successful outing on the Dana White Contender Series, and he's still very young in his career. He's only 6-0, and he's fought average competition at best. I mean, his best win in his career is probably against Daquan Townsend. He's still raw. He's improving quickly, though, and he has a lot of athleticism and heart, good cardio. And he's a forward pressure fighter. He has a sideways stance, kind of likes to slide in and out of range. Use the lead hand to maintain distance, and he will hand fight. Use the jab a lot to get range for the straight right hand. He'll attack the body. And he likes to force opponents to back to the fence, real faint pull counter. And he holds his hands low, but he's good at slipping and ripping. Nice counter left hook, but he can get clipped with big shots. He did get dropped against Townsend, and he's a bit of a slow starter. But he does have some nice kicks. He'll attack all parts of the body with kicks. He mixes them into combinations. His stance does leave him susceptible to low kicks. And when fighters pressure Hill, he can look a little bit flustered. His defense doesn't look very good. He can back himself towards the cage, really have nowhere to go sometimes, and he'll reach for the clinch, shoot a takedown, rather than just using lateral movement or striking, moving backwards. He really isn't a one-shot power guy either. Definitely is more about volume, but he does throw a lot of volume. Is you know, has great cardio and great pace for a 205er, and you know, he has 2 career knockouts, and he's a very tough guy. He's gotten hurt badly. He's recovered quickly. But definitely needs to improve his defense, or it's only a matter of time before he gets knocked out. And he doesn't look like a great grappler. In his last match, he did have success with knees in the clinch. He did hurt and finish his opponent off with ground and pound. But, you know, he'll shoot some doubles in space. He likes to clinch fighters up, press them against the cage, chain wrestle. But doesn't really have the greatest top control. And he isn't the most proficient wrestler overall. I definitely don't see him being able to take down Stosic unless Stosic is just dog tired. I believe he should try to avoid grappling. He has to be ready to defend takedowns and just keep it standing. His takedown defense hasn't been tested much in MMA, but it looks a bit questionable. I mean, I've seen him taken down by guys that don't look very good. And off of his back, he will work arm bars, triangles, omoplatas, but doesn't look great there. I think a guy like Stosic will maybe be able to exploit him if he got in top position. And Hill has no submissions in his career. He's never been submitted. And this is a tough fight because I feel Hill definitely has a higher ceiling, more potential, but it may be too soon for him in this spot. I think Hill is dangerous. He's tough. He has great cardio, but still has a lot of defensive issues. And I think Stosic is going to chop the legs of Hill, take him down. And I think that if he explodes and makes Hill go backwards, you could catch him and knock him out with the left hook. But I think if Hill goes for takedowns, Stosic is able to stuff him, get on top. So, going forward, even if he's still low volume, is the way to go, in my opinion. And I expect him to have more urgency here and try to, show more of his skills, because he needs to come out and get a win here. But if Hill can weather a storm and can continue to get up off takedowns or stuff the takedowns, I do think that he's going to be the tougher guy. But my pick is going to be Darko Stosic via second round TKO here. And up next here, we got a strawweight fight, women's fight, Angie Hill taking on Hannah Cyphers. And Angie Hill's going to be jumping on short notice yet again here. Ever since she's rejoined the UFC in 2017, she's been extremely active. This is going to be her 10th fight in under 3 years. And she has won two of her last three. She looked great in her last match. And she's a very quick, nimble striker, good movement. And, she really has nice kicks, nice punches, great leg kicks, good left hand, very nice jab left hook. She'll throw a right uppercut left hook. She'll attack the body very well. She really mixes it up. She has good fakes, good feints. She rolls with shots very well, slips and returns. Great drive-bys where she'll walk an opponent into a jab or straight, angle off. She's very good at seeing kicks coming, parrying, good head kicks, round kicks to the body, front kicks. Very good early. She's extremely fast, heavy volume, good blitz attacks, good in and out movement, and very high pace. She has some good variety as well, elbows, Superman punches. In this fight, she needs to pressure forward, feint, use low kicks. I think she's going to be the fastest fighter that Cyphers has ever fought. And I think that if she could stay in her face, counter, lean back, angle off, don't keep the same look, switch stances. Cyphers could land hook or overhands on the exit, so she has to be careful with having her hands low. She angles off at times, and she can kind of lean back sometimes, but she's never been finished by strike. She's very durable. We've seen her eat shots against girls like Jessica Andrade, and she has 4 KO TKOs herself. She's coming off a TKO victory via stoppage due to cut with elbows in her last fight against that Brazilian chick, and she's a much improved grappler. I mean, I really don't expect the takedowns of Cyphers to be very effective. In the clinch, Hill was very good in her last fight. I mean, she was able to reverse position, disengage against a girl that looked extremely physically strong. She gets good head positioning, good single collar, good knees, really good elbows. Her elbows in the clinch were money in her last fight. She really battered Carnelosi with those elbows. And she has gotten submitted a few times in the octagon. In this fight, though, I really believe that she's going to have the takedown defense to keep it standing. We've seen her keep it standing against some girls that I think have better grappling, like Ashley Yoder. And Hill has 0 submissions in her career, but she has been doing jiu-jitsu competition. She is improving there. She has been submitted twice, and she's going to look to keep it standing and put on a show. But Hannah Cypher, she is getting the main event slot in her home state, and this is the biggest spot of her career. She is coming in an underdog. She's 2-1 in the UFC, and she has won back-to-back fights since suffering that setback in her UFC debut. And she's a striker. She's a smaller girl, though, at just 5'2", and her footwork is not very good. I think in this fight, that could be an issue for her. But Cyphers does crack. She has big power in her overhand right. Good at landing the overhand right as opponents in her range. And she will attack body head with combinations. She will throw some straight punch combos, body head, nice right hook to the body. Good job of coming forward, throwing hooks and overhands while ducking and rolling, kind of like Mike Tyson style. She will throw some occasional leg kicks, but they just don't seem very powerful. She will throw the rear leg body head kick. But Cyphers is very hittable for herself, and she throws with full power. She overextends, and I expect Hill to be able to pick her apart if this fight stays on the outside. Cyphers, she struggled with kicks of the girls like Pollyanna Viana. But she's very tough. She has a lot of heart. She's only been finished one time by strikes against Macy Barber. And she's not an active grappler in fights. I mean, she is strong in the clinch, good short-range power. She will throw short hooks, uppercuts, fast hands inside. But she isn't a wrestler. I mean, she just has 1 UFC takedown. And in top position, she doesn't do very much. She holds position, stays tight. But her ground and pound, unless she gets in a really good position, it really isn't super dangerous. And she isn't a big submission threat on top. I mean, she doesn't have any submissions in her career. She was taken down 3 times by Jodi Escobel. She kind of struggled with the timing of Jodi's double legs. And Cypher's, she is active off her back with armbars, triangles, omoplatas, more to scramble to stand back up. But she will look for leg locks. She was able to shut down Jodi Escobel's top game with her guard. But she isn't going to have to worry about a double leg more than likely in this fight. She has yet to earn a submission victory in MMA, like I said. And she has been submitted once herself by Jillian Robertson. And in this fight, I have Angela Hill all day here. I just think she's too clean, too fast. And Cypher's footwork is too choppy. I think she's too slow. I think Hill's going to pick her off. I think in the clinch, she's improving enough to land some damaging shots and disengage. I think she's much faster, going to land the clean punches. And I think that she's going to throw a lot of low kicks, try to slow the forward movement. I don't expect many takedowns in this match. And I think that as long as Hill doesn't get clipped with a big shot or press gets the cage bullied, she's going to dominate here. I think this is going to be a similar fight to Jodi Escobel versus Hill, where she had a field day. She put on a striking clinic in that fight. I think this may even be an easier match for Hill than that one, because I think Escobel's better at closing the distance than Hannah Cypher's. And my pick is going to be Hill via decision, 30-27, 30-26 maybe even. I think Hill's going to come in here and dominate this fight. So I'm going with Angela Hill to get the decision victory here. And up next here we have a flyweight bout, Jordan Espinoza taking on Alex Perez. And Alex Perez, he entered this match a sizable favorite. He's 4-1 on the score or on the betting line. And his one UFC loss was against MMA legend Joseph Benavidez, where he was a favorite against Joe B as well. But Perez, he's been on the shelf almost a year and a half. Or almost a year, I'm sorry. He had to pull out of a fight late last year. But he is coming off a dominant decision win over Mark De La Rosa's last time out. And he's a well-rounded fighter. He's a finisher as well. He's a come-forward striker. He likes to stalk opponents to the cage. Good footwork, head movement. He cuts the cage off, makes it small. And he has nice low kicks, good overhand right, nice 1-2s, heavy right hook, overhand left combination. And he has, a good right hook, straight left hand. He has fast hooks inside. He likes to counter with the left hook, you know, against Jose Torres. He blitzed him with hook-uppercut combinations, took him out. Throws nasty standing elbows, and he will attack the body with punches. Good at grabbing the Thai plum, landing knees to the head, and he throws a lot of volume, very strong in the first round. He did struggle a bit in his match with Benavidez and Eric Shelton with the speed, and he had a hard time closing the distance, especially against Benavidez. Benavidez was able to hit him angle off, and he's a big 125er. I do feel the cut makes him a little bit slower. And I think he's better at 35s, but he is coming back to 25s here. He does have 4 KO TKOs. He's only been finished by strikes one time. And he's a solid grappler. He likes to get in the clinch, throw nasty uppercuts, hooks. He is a former college wrestler. And he's good in the transitional periods of striking and grappling. You'll throw tie clinch knees on the break, nice body locks, good double legs, good timing on the shots. Really awesome single leg, and he's very good at using fakes and feints to set it up. And he sets it up with the right hand as well. So he sets the right hand up off the takedown, sets the takedowns up off the right hand. And on top, he's pretty good. He has good control. He's good at finding the back. He'll turk the leg, move him out. He's dangerous with chokes. He loves to get the front headlock position. He has a lot of anacondas, guillotines, darces, and he's finished 2 of his last 5 wins by anaconda choke. He's good at using the sprawl to get in that position, and he uses it to attack with the chokes or scramble to top position. In his fight with Joseph Benavidez, he did get pounded out with some ground and pound, and he just seemed to accept defeat and just gave up there. But he does have 6 submissions. He did control, hold down Mark De La Rosa very effectively in his last fight. He has been submitted 3 times, and he does have good cardio. He keeps a good pace. And, so he's a good fighter overall, but he's going to be taking on another guy who's a good fighter, and Jordan Espinoza, who had his 5-fight winning streak snapped by Matt Schnell in his last fight. You know, he did get submitted in the first round there. But he's getting another chance at a big name here versus Alex Perez. And he's super fast. He's explosive. Hands-down style. Likes to dart in, dart out with blitz attacks. He tends to fight moving backwards a lot, but works behind the jab. Makes opponents pay with counters. Nice heavy jab. Really nice leg kicks. good drive by straight right hands, tight 1-2s. He does have a nice check left hook going backwards, and he dropped his opponent on the Dana White Contender Series with it, but he also can get hit with left hooks going backwards. It kind of leaves his chin in the air. He will throw powerful body and head kicks, and his head kicks come very fast, and he has a nice head kick knockout of Nick Ursul on the Dana White Contender Series. He will throw the head kick after the 1-2, after the jab, kind of blind you with the punch, throw the head kick right after. And, you know, he can get a little bit desperate at times when opponents pressure him. He could flop to his back, and he doesn't really have the greatest boxing technique, but he's improving with his pull counter ability. He's more confident in the pocket these days, and he's good at slipping and ripping with straight punches. The issue with his defense is he does tend to lean back when he throws punches, and he doesn't hold his hands high, and this leads to him getting hit flush on the chin at times. And you know, Espinoza also will dart in with his hands low, so he can get caught coming inside, but he's hard to hit when he's going backwards, and he's has really good speed, and I've seen him wobbled, rocked, dropped in fights, but he recovers well. He's never been finished by strikes. He does have 2 knockouts himself, and he's a former wrestler. He has some jiu-jitsu skills as well, but he doesn't really tend to work in the clinch much. He does have some nice knees, good double legs, and he will dig on an underhook, land it, trip takedowns, drop for double legs from there, shoot singles. And on top, he has decent ground and pound, good elbows, but he's mainly looking for submissions. Very good guard passing. He likes to jump from guard to side control. And very fast in the scrambles. He floats well. He will try to take the back. He has a very good front headlock series himself. He did land a double leg in his last match, though, that did put him directly into a guillotine and then a triangle. And he can get taken down himself, but overall, I would say he has good takedown defense. Off his back, he does do a good job scrambling, returning to his feet, and he's always looking for that darce. He's a darcer, and that makes it interesting. It makes it harder for opponents to shoot in on you when you're a darcer. Very good at jumping in on darces when opponents get hurt as well. And he has 5 career darce submission victories, 7 submissions overall. He has been submitted 3 times himself. But I think this line is much closer than the line indicates. You know, Jordan Espinoza, he's going to be able to match the size, maybe the physicality of Perez, and he's going to be the faster, more explosive guy. Perez is going to have to stay tight. He's going to have to try to wear on Espinoza with forward pressure, low kicks, until he can force him to stay in boxing range. We saw in fights with Eric Shelton, with Benavidez, he really struggled with the foot and the hand speed, and I feel Espinoza could pose some of those same problems. The issue is Perez could crack, and when he lands one, he's coming in with 3-4 more in combination. He has fast level changes, and Espinoza's defense on the feet is a little bit questionable. I do feel, though, Espinoza should be able to stick and move. He should be the much faster guy, and as long as he uses lateral movement and he doesn't allow himself to get backed up, he's going to have success. Eric Shelton will get backed up and shoot takedowns, and Perez was the one that was able to win the scramble when Shelton would shoot the takedown, snap him down, sprawl, get to opposition. And I think Espinoza should look to keep it standing, not shoot takedowns unless he's really getting walked down, beat up in boxing range. And I also feel Espinoza is going to be harder to hold down for Perez than his previous opponents. But Perez does seem very heavy in top position, good singles, good ground and pound. And both guys are dangerous with those front chokes, especially the darces. I do feel this is one of the better guys Perez has fought in his UFC run. Espinoza, he's fast, he's explosive, he's a former wrestler, he has knockout power. You know, it's kind of hard to trust him not to make a mistake, but, you know, I haven't picked many dogs on this card, and I'm going to pick Jordan Espinoza. I'm going to pick him to get Alex Perez out of there with a submission after he hurts him on the feet. So I'm going with Jordan Espinoza via late first round submission here. And I'm next sure we have the co-main event, which is a good co-main event with RDA taking on Michael Chiesa. And, you know, these guys are kind of in different directions in their career. RDA, he has his back against the wall here. He takes on Chiesa, who's kind of streaking, and he's lost. RDA has lost 3 of 4 fights, but the losses have come to arguably the 3 best fighters in the division. I mean, Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, and he's been able to defend his top 5 position against fighters at this caliber. You know, he's dominated guys like Tarek Saffiedine, like Neil Magny. He's turned back guys like Robbie Lawler. And we're going to see if he can do it again. And Michael Chiesa, he's going to be taking a big step up in competition. He had a 2-0 start at welterweight, and he's looked very big, strong at 170. But this is the ultimate test for him. If he can beat a guy like Dos Anjos, he's going to prove to himself that this was the right decision to move up in weight classes. He's going to be very close to a title shot because, you know, the guys right now, even though he's defeated them in dominant fashion, he's defeated Carlos Condit, who's lost, I believe, 6-7 fights in a row, and Diego Sanchez, who's probably one of the smallest 170-pounders on the roster, and, you know, a guy that's been in the UFC for a long time, and RDA is definitely much higher level than these guys, and that indicates on the line with Chiesa coming in as an underdog. But I'm going to tell you, man, I mean, Chiesa, he knows what he wants to do. He doesn't go in there. He doesn't strike with you. He does have, you know, some striking. I mean, he's a lanky guy. He throws some straight punches, some kicks. He has some dangerous knees. And we can back you to the cage. He could land some combinations, but very loopy, very awkward on the feet. I mean, if him and RDA are going to come out here and strike, I think RDA is going to chop down the legs. I think he's going to land tighter shots in between Chiesa's, you know, craziness. And I think he's going to eat him up and knock him out. But Chiesa has shown the ability to get inside, get in the clinch, and ragdoll these guys at 170 so far. And RDA obviously has had trouble with, you know, wrestling with grinders in the past. And it's just going to come down to if RDA is going to be able to stop that clinch. If he's going to have the anti-clinch game on point and he's going to be able to actually circling. I did hear in an interview that he did with Karen Bryant that he's working on staying off the cage and sticking and moving, circling and punching, not sticking his feet. And, you know, if he could do that here, I think he's going to dominate Chiesa because I think that on the feet, he has much better. And if you can get Chiesa to reach for these takedowns, not time them well, not be in good range to shoot them, you're going to be able to stuff them much easier like you did versus Kevin Lee. And once you start stuffing takedowns, you get the guy tired. Then RDA could start working his own game where he shoots his own double legs that are very, very proficient, very effective. I mean, I think RDA has the better wrestling than Chiesa offensively. But the thing is, defensively, RDA could struggle with the wrestling at times. And if Chiesa could make this a very physical fight in the clinch, can grind on him, can just flow. In his last fight, it was beautiful the way that he was flowing from position to position. When Diego would win a scramble, he was so calm and he was just able to, you know, work his way back into top position, reverse, take the back, and just dominated the fight with position. Didn't even do a lot of damage. But the thing is, in both of his fights, we haven't seen him strike very much. We haven't seen him go through much adversity. And, you know, when he's fought the upper echelon of guys in his UFC career, he's just not been very good. I mean, his biggest win is Beneil Dariush, which actually is a big win. And it's a guy that trains with RDA. So, I mean, I'm sure RDA is going to be looking to get that one back for Benny. But, man, I mean, it is an interesting fight because of the way that Chiesa has been looking at 170, where he's been looking very big. And, you know, RDA has obviously struggled with big physical guys in the past. And I want to see during the fight week the size of these guys. And, you know, RDA, I do think, though, is going to win this fight because he's done very well against taller fighters. You know, the Nate Diazes, the Neil Magnys. He's done very well at Donald Cerrone. When he's fighting these tall guys, he tends to go in there and eat them up. So I definitely think on the feet he's more dynamic. He's going to have the chance to get the knockout. I think he has better jiu-jitsu than Chiesa. I think that he may be able to get up in positions where Chiesa was able to control Diego, not allow Chiesa to make it his type of fight. And if he could do that, if he could win on the feet, he could have his moments. I think that he could be able to eventually fight a shot that finishes Chiesa. So I'm going with RDA via second round TKO in this fight. And I'm next here in the main event, Curtis Blaze taking on another legend here, Junior Dos Santos. And so far he's 2-0 against legends. You know, he's taking out Mark Hunt. He's taking out Mark Hunt, Alistair Overeem. And if you want to say Alexio Linick is a legend, I mean, the first guy to win a fight in four different decades in MMA, he's taking out three legends. And he's getting another chance here against the former champion. And, you know, man, I mean, he's the guy that's in the good position in his career. Junior's the guy that's coming off that loss, trying to rebound against Francis Ngannou. And, man, I mean, I just really like this fight for Curtis Blaydes, dude. I feel like we've seen this fight with Cain Velasquez, a very similar fight where Junior Dos Santos was taken down at will in that fight. He didn't have anything for the takedowns. And in this fight, if he wants to win, he needs to have that footwork, the lateral movement, and keep him at the end of his punches. Maybe even go forward and just try to stuff the takedowns. But I just don't see it, man. I mean, Curtis Blaydes' wrestling is so elite. Great cardio, and he has a very good chin. I mean, we saw him eat that knee flush from over him. He's fought Francis Ngannou twice, and he hasn't gotten unconscious in either fight. And, you know, man, I mean, Blades is the younger guy. He has good cardio. He's going to go in there with his game plan. I don't think he's going to ever be a guy that's going to divert, start trying to strike with Junior, be nervous. But Junior always has that chance to catch him. I mean, you don't want to be disrespectful to a guy like Junior Dos Santos, because he can always go in there and catch you with a shot. He is a black belt of jiu-jitsu. He isn't just going to go in there and fall over. Curtis Blades is going to have to work for those takedowns. But I think if Blades gets on top, I don't think Junior is going to get up. I think that Blades is going to do a lot of damage with this ground and pound, which we've seen him do to a lot of opponents. And unless Junior just lands a big shot, catches Blades on the side of the head, knocks him out, catches him with the uppercut as he gets in a range, I just don't see a lot of paths to victory. And it's unfortunate, because Junior is a legend, but against this new echelon of fighters, you know, it is usually like most heavyweights will come into their own at, you know, 37, 36, 35, 38, even older than that sometimes. But the thing is, not guys like Stefan Struve, like Junior, guys that have fought for these many years and taken damage. And Junior always just had trouble circling himself to the cage, and that's something you do not want to do against a wrestler, especially Curtis Blades, because he's athletic. And if you circle yourself to the cage, he's going to shoot in, he's going to get on those legs, and you're going to be on your back. And when he gets those elbows going, he starts putting damage on you. I don't think Junior is going to be able to recover in between rounds if he makes it there, and I think he could even get finished. And I don't see this fight going five rounds. I think that over the five rounds, Blades is going to finish with ground and pound, maybe the second, third round. But I'm going with Curtis Blades here, and I think he's going to get it done. It's always hard betting on heavyweights with price tags over, like, minus 200, because, you know, especially a guy like Junior, you have to worry about him catching and knocking out Curtis Blades. And we've seen Blades finish before with strikes. Obviously, that gets the most dangerous guy in the division, but it still happens. So you always have to worry about that. But I think Blades, you know, should get it done, and I think he's going to get it done. So I'm going to go with Curtis Blades via third round TKO ground and pound here. And for the most confident pick of the night on this card, it's going to be for Montel Jackson. The parlay of the week is going to be Angela Hill and Arnold Allen. And the underdog pick of the week is going to be Jordan Espinoza. So that's the video for UFC on ESPN Plus 24, UFC Raleigh, Curtis Blades versus Junior Dos Santos. So hopefully you guys liked it, you guys enjoyed it. Tell me what you think in the comments. Tell me who you guys are betting on, what parlays you guys are doing, and what you guys did last week. Tell me what you agree with, what you don't agree with. And yeah, thanks for watching. Thanks for always supporting. And like I said, let's try to get those 150 likes. And you know, let's try to get more people subscribed to the channel. So, yeah, let's have fun watching these fights on Saturday.